Good morning. As you can tell, we're starting a new series this morning called If, and mainly we'll be talking about what it would be like, or what it would be like to if we lived our lives with no regrets. How many of you have ever had a regret? Anyone? Okay. Pretty much everyone. How many of you have had more than one regret? And don't point to the person next to you, right? Okay, good. We all have regrets, right? We all have regrets. And here's the thing. If we are not careful, we will live our lives saying this one small phrase that may seem insignificant, but it really is powerful. It's this. If only. If only. And if you aren't careful, you will live your life with if only regrets. If only I had applied myself, right? If only I had made better or different decisions. If only I went in a different direction. If only. Which leads to a life full of regrets. And guess what? You can't build anything on regret. It's a horrible foundation, and it won't stand the test of time, and it won't stand the issues you deal with in your life. You've got to start living a what-if life. On August 15th, 1987, Howard Schultz, how many know the name Howard Schultz? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you. Howard Schultz was faced with the toughest decision of his life. Whether or not to buy a small chain of coffee houses with a strange name, Starbucks. Now, how many of you know Starbucks? Yeah, everybody knows Starbucks, right? Knowing what we know now, it seems like a no-brainer, but to Schultz, the $3.8 million price tag felt like a case of the salmon swallowing the whale. In his memoir, Pour Your Heart Into It, the architect behind the Starbucks brand reflects on his what-if moment. He says this, "This is my moment, I thought. If I don't seize the opportunity, if I don't step out of my comfort zone and risk it all, if I let too much time tick on, my moment will pass. I knew that if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity, I would replay it in my mind for my whole life, wondering what if." Howard Schultz made it a defining decision to give up the safety net of his $75,000 salary to pursue his passions for all things coffee. Starbucks stock went public 5 years later, and on June 26, 1992, it was the second most actively traded stock on the NASDAQ that day. And by the closing bell, its market capitalization stood at $273 million. Not bad for a $3.8 million investment, right? Starbucks now has 16,580 stores in 40 countries with revenues topping $4.7 billion. By conservative estimates, Starbucks sold $3,861,778,846 cups of coffee last year. That's not counting their other drinks, too. That's just coffee. And get this, every sip of every drink started with what if. What if? What's your what if? In order for you to answer that question, you first must get past your if only regrets. One of the saddest verses, I believe, in the Bible is hidden away in Jeremiah 46, verse 17. You might want to write that down so you can look at it later, but I'll read it here in just a second. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 17, and listen to these words. It says this, "Give Pharaoh of Egypt the title King Bompest, the man who missed his moment." The man who missed his moment. Pharaoh Hofra was the fourth king of the 26th dynasty of Egypt. As the political and religious leader of one of the most advanced civilizations on earth, the Pharaoh had so much potential, so much power. History was his for the taking and his for the making. But he missed his what-if moment. The opportunity isn't identified. But Pharaoh Hofra ruled for 19 years, so he probably missed more than one. And because he missed his what if, he took his if only regrets with him to his tomb. Now I want to make a bold prediction this morning, and it's this. At the end of your life, each one of you, at the end of your life, your greatest regrets won't be the things you did but wish you hadn't. That won't be your greatest regrets, the things you did but you wish you hadn't. Your greatest regrets will be the things you didn't do but you wish you had. Right? It's the what-if dreams that we never act upon that turn into if-only regrets. And I believe this is true not only in our personal lives, but also in the life of churches as well. Missed opportunities that turn into if-only regrets. If only we had done this. If only we had done this. If only, if only, if only. Now there is a truth in life that everyone must understand, and it's this. You don't get what you deserve, right? You don't get what you deserve. Instead, you get what you decide. You get what you decide. It's all about the choices you make and the steps that you take towards those choices. You following me? I want to give you guys a number. You might want to write this down. It's 1,784. 1,784. Now, what's the significance in this number? That's how many ifs there are in the Bible. 1,784 ifs in the Bible. Now you may be thinking, it's just an insignificant little two-letter word. I want to remind you of some of the powerful if statements from the Bible. You ready? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's a powerful if statement. Here's another one. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's another powerful if statement, right? Or what about this one? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, one of my favorites is found in Romans chapter 8, and we'll be spending a lot of time in this chapter during this series, but Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this: If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is in the restoration business, meaning you don't have to live a life in regret. He renews things. And here's the thing, you have a choice to make today to stop living in the if-only regrets. I'm going to answer a question today, and then I'm going to give you four turning points that are very important. But here's the question. You might want to write this down. It's not on the slide. But here's the question. How do you deal with if-only regrets? Or maybe you can write it, how do I deal with if-only regrets? How do you deal with if-only regrets? Now, I'm going to give you the answer to that right up front. And then we'll kind of backtrack and talk about the four turning points. So how do you deal with if-only regrets? Here's the good news. Jesus already dealt with them. What he did on the cross redeems you from any regrets that you might be walking through right now. He's already restored everything. All you need to do is grab a hold of Jesus, accept him as your Savior, and make him Lord of your life, and your regrets are gone. He's already dealt with your regrets. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I mentioned the last verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is awesome. Some people call it the greatest chapter in the Bible. It's like the super 8, the great 8. So if you have time this month, we'll be kind of be in this series this whole month. Take some time and actually read this chapter. Don't just read it to get through it, but actually read it to pour it into your life and pour it into your heart. I went over Romans, the last chapter of Romans. Let me go over the first verse in Romans. It says, Romans 8:1 says, therefore, hit that next slide, there you go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is Everybody say now. Now. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling a bit overwhelmed because we did just come out of our overwhelm series, right? So we dug up all those overwhelming feelings so they're real fresh in your mind, right? So you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed and beat down under intense amount of condemnation by the weight of the bad things you've done, the regrets in your life. Guess what? Guess what? There's good news for you today. And you don't want to know what that is? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Here's the deal. There is a difference between condemnation and conviction. And we have a tendency to get those mixed up. And I want to kind of just give you a little definition of these two real quick. Conviction is this. You might want to write this down. Conviction is the guilt of unconfessed sin. That's conviction. The guilt of unconfessed sin. Conviction is good. Conviction is good. The Holy Spirit will show you areas in your life where you've gotten off path and done wrong things. And you can then go to God and ask for forgiveness. Conviction is good. Now, condemnation is bad. Condemnation is guilt over confessed sin. Guilt over confessing. It's guilt over the things that you have already, that have already been paid for by the blood of Christ. You see, we have a tendency to hold on to the things that have already been paid for and forgiven. God has forgotten them the minute we ask for forgiveness. We're like, hey, God, I need to ask for forgiveness. Like, what are you talking about? I've already forgotten that. It's in the past. Stop bringing it up. You know what that means? There is no regret that God cannot redeem. There is no regret that God cannot redeem. God's plan for your life is not to live in regret. The if-onlys. His plan is for you to live in the what-if possibilities. The what-if possibilities. So here are the four turning points. Go ahead to that next slide. Hit that next slide. Four turning points you need to put into practice and apply to your life. And the first one is this. Turn if only into right now. Turn your if onlys into right now. Right now. Did your parents ever say to you, hey, do that right now. I'll get it in a minute. Yeah, that didn't work out too well, right? You're going to get something in a minute, and you ain't going to be happy about it, right? If only I'd invested in my marriage. If only I had disciplined my children. If only I had made better decisions. If only I had applied myself. If only I had served God. If only I had become a generous giver. If only, if only, if only. You see the issue here? You can't build anything on if only. You can only build on today, right now. You have to turn your if onlys into right now. You didn't discipline, discipline. You didn't serve, serve. You didn't work on your marriage, work on your marriage. When? Now, 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 right now. You have to turn your if onlys into right now. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says this. I think we have it on the screen. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. Now, now, now. Number two is turn inaction into action. Turn inaction into action. Now, this is tough for some people. This is a tough one. I recently heard a study about inaction, indecision, and even wrong actions. And the study said this, that we regret inaction more than wrong action. Almost 90% of the people studied regretted more not doing anything than doing the wrong thing. What does that tell you? Do something, right? Do something. Now, with all these actors, that reminds me of a study Dave was talking to me the other today about, with all these active shooters going into public places and shooting things, they say you really have three choices. Do the right thing, do the wrong thing, or do nothing, right? Is that right? And they said, you need to choose one of the first two. Do the right thing or do the wrong thing. You can't do nothing. You have to do something. Do something. Do what? Do the next right thing. Do what God is putting right in front of you. Do something. Because indecision is a decision. Inaction is an action. Not acting is an act. Not deciding is a decision. Look what James chapter 4, verse 17 says. I don't know if we have it on the screen, but I'll read it. James 4, 17 says this. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Should make you feel a bit uncomfortable. Knowing what's right to do and not doing it is a sin. How many of you want to sin? I don't want to sin. So let's do what God has called us to do. We've got to close the gap between action and inaction, between decision and indecision. How do you do that? By taking action. Potential is God's gift to you. Potential is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. Stop sitting on the fringes. Be who God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do. Reach out to those whom God has placed in your life and tell them about the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Turn inaction into action. Number three is this. Turn if-only regrets into what-if dreams. Turn if-only regrets into what-if dreams. God has some what-if dreams for you. He really does. Now, there may be some people here this morning that think, well, I'm just past my prime. He must be talking to the younger crowd with this one. No, I'm talking to every single person in this room right now. Every single person in this room. As long as there is still breath in your lungs, God is not done with you yet. He still has what-if dreams for you. Now, I will agree that there may be some here this morning that live as if God is done with them. But that's not His decision. That's yours. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't say in Matthew 16, 18, when He was talking to Peter, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it, so that we can be a bunch of apathetic Christians who come here on Sunday morning to hear a word of God and then go out of this place and share that with no one. If you find yourself as an apathetic Christian, meaning you show no feeling of interest, enthusiasm, or concern about what God has done in your life, and you aren't worried or concerned that there are literally people dying every minute that are going to hell, if that doesn't stir your heart, then I'd suggest it's time for a heart check. God has called you and I to so much more than to come here once a week and put in our time. Friends, we are on the front line of a spiritual battle for people's souls. We're it. We're the front line. And it's high time we start acting like it. God has what-if dreams for us all. We just need to realize that God is God and nothing is impossible for Him. Ephesians 3:20, and I love the way the Message version puts it, says this: God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I have some pretty wild dreams. God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I think a lot of times we either think God is done with us Or we just dream small dreams. We put God in a box, and the box can't hold my God. Turn your if-only regrets into what-if dreams. And lastly, number four. And here's the thing, none of what we've talked about matters unless we get this last one right. Turn your whole heart to Jesus. Turn your whole heart to Jesus. Give Him every part of you. Give Him everything you've got. Turn your whole life over to Him. Here's the thing, a little dab of God won't do you. It's true, a little dab of God won't do you. How many of you have family traditions? Got family traditions around the holidays and stuff, things like that? We have a family tradition that my wife started. She's sitting there and she's getting a smile on her face like, okay, where's this going? And the tradition is this. Every fall we get a flu shot. That's the tradition she started making us. And here's the thing. I hate needles. So every fall, we go up to the hospital to get our free flu shot because my wife's a nurse. She works with it, so we can all get flu shots. And every fall, the kids and I complain about having to go up and get our dang flu shots. And I make the kids go first, and I laugh at them, and then I have to go, and they laugh at me. And we all cry together, and it's all fun. But I guess it helps us not get the flu, so I'm told. Now, when you get the flu shot, you know what they give you? What do they give you? They give you a little bit of the flu, right? They give you a little bit of what? The flu, which seems crazy, right? It seems crazy. But they give you a little bit of the flu, and then it makes you resistant to the flu. You see where I'm going with this? I believe there's an epidemic of people who have gotten a little bit of God. Just a little bit of God. A little bit of Jesus, and they've gotten just enough to make them resist to give Him all of their life. Well, I've gotten a little bit of God. That's good enough. A little bit of Jesus. They have compartmentalized their relationship with God. Hey, I'll give you this part, but I really like this part. This part over here is real good. I'm gonna hold on to that because I'm having fun. But I'll give you this part over here, and you can have this little bit right there, right? But don't touch that. They compartmentalize a relationship with God. But what God is saying is this. If you want to live what-if dreams, possibilities, and purposes in your life, then I'm going to need all of you. I'm going to need it all. Jesus gave His life. Gave His all for you and me. How much more than should we give to God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Not just some. Not just pick and choose, right? All. That's not compartmentalizing. That's giving everything you have to offer to Him. He's not Lord at all until He's Lord of all. God has big plans for you in your life, and if you would allow Him to turn your if-only regrets into His what-if possibilities. The question is, will you allow Him to do that? Will you allow Him to take your if-only regrets and turn them into His what-if possibilities? Father God, we thank You for the opportunity to read Your word and dig in, Father. We thank You for the words Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. And if there was a guy who had some regrets, it would be him. I mean, he was, Your people were public enemy number one to him. So, Father, if You can turn His if-only regrets into what-if dreams, you can turn our if-only regrets into what-if dreams. Father, help us to dream big dreams. Help us to step out in faith when You call us to step out in faith. When You call us to do something, we believe that You have called us to do it. Father, help us not to say, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? It doesn't matter. You have called us to do it. Help us to step out in faith. Father, I thank you for a story of Howard Schultz who could have missed his opportunity, much like the Pharaoh that we read in Jeremiah. But he stepped out. He took a chance. He took a risk. Father, help us to do that in our lives too. So later on in life, the words that are read at our funeral aren't saying, well, they really missed his opportunity. They really missed their opportunity, Father. No, we want it to read, and they took advantage of everything God had given them. They stepped out. They did big things for me, for God. Help us to not miss our opportunities that you give to us, Father. There are many people in this community who need to hear your love, the salvation that comes through your Son. Father, help us to be bold and go out and tell those people about you, Father. Help us. We're not called to sit here in this building and wait for them to come to us. We're called to go out and go to them. It's only good news if we share it. Help us to share that good news.